The Hidden Life of Wet Waste, a dual path documentary story. Two journeys, same trash, one difference, water. Prologue, two raindrops, one dumpster. A storm rolls in over a city. Clouds flatten the sky. Wind moves trash wrappers into corners. Parking lots shine like dark mirrors. Behind a restaurant, a dumpster sits against a wall. Ordinary, overlooked, familiar. Now, imagine two raindrops. They fall from the same cloud, on the same day, on the same property. Raindrop A lands on a closed lid. It slides off. It stays outside the trash. Raindrop B lands on a cracked open lid. It falls inside. That single difference, outside versus inside, creates two completely different stories. This is the hidden life of wet waste, and it begins before a truck ever arrives. Chapter 1, the point of origin, where waste becomes either stable or active. Waste begins where people live and work. Homes and apartments. Schools and campuses. Restaurants and grocery stores. Warehouses and shopping centers. Construction sites and job trailers. Most people think the waste cycle starts at the landfill. It doesn't. The waste cycle starts at the container. The container is the first system. It's the first treatment decision, whether anyone calls it that or not. Because the container decides one crucial thing. Will water touch the waste? So we follow two paths from the very beginning. Path one, the dry journey. The dumpster as a container, working as intended. The lid closes. The seals aren't perfect, but they're good enough. Rain falls, but it stays mostly outside. Inside the dumpster, cardboard stays stiff. Paper fibers stay intact. Plastic stays mostly clean. Bags stay tied. Food waste is contained inside bags instead of soaking the whole load. Dry waste is not clean, but it is stable. It behaves like a pile of objects. It doesn't flow. It doesn't spread as easily. It stays contained. Path 2, the WET journey. The dumpster is a catch basin, working against you. The lid is open just enough for rain to enter. Rain hits. A greasy pizza box. A paper napkin. A broken foam container. A bag with a small tear. Loose food scraps. A coffee cup with liquid still inside. Water begins pooling at the bottom. Cardboard collapses into pulp. Grease spreads in a thin layer. Liquids find seams, drain holes, and low points. This waste becomes active. It behaves like a heavy mass. Sometimes it even behaves like sludge. Wet waste doesn't just sit there. It changes the chemistry of the container. Chapter 2. What water does to trash. The science behind wet. Water has two quiet powers. One, it dissolves. Two, it carries. When water touches waste, it becomes a solvent and a transporter. It pulls into itself whatever it contacts. Sugars and acids from food. Oils and grease. Detergents and cleaning residues. Dissolved metals from tiny fragments. Bacteria and microbial byproducts. Tiny plastic particles as packaging scuffs and breaks down. This contaminated liquid is called leachate. Leachate is not a dramatic word. It's a practical one. It means water that has passed through waste and picked up contaminants. Now compare dry path, less leachate, slower changes. Dry waste still contains some moisture. Nothing is perfectly dry, but the difference is scale. With a lid closed, less rain enters. Liquids remain more contained in bags. Cardboard stays intact longer. The bottom of the dumpster doesn't become a soup. Leachate formation is limited. Smell is reduced. The load stays more predictable. Wet path. Leachate forms early and moves easily. With rain inside the dumpster, leachate forms quickly. It collects at the bottom. It spreads contamination through the load. It can escape through seams or drain holes. And now we reach one of the biggest misunderstandings in modern cities. People assume water goes to a treatment plant, but it depends on which pipes the water enters. Chapter 3, the pavement test. Where the two paths become public health and environmental pathways. Behind the building, the dumpster sits on pavement. Pavement is sloped on purpose, to move water away quickly. That water usually flows to a storm drain. Storm drains are not sewers. Storm drains usually lead to local waterways without treatment. So the critical question becomes, does contaminated liquid leave the dumpster area? Dry path. No spill, no streak, no path. When the area is dry, There is little to no dripping. Stains don't build up. There's less residue for rain to mobilize later. The path to the drain doesn't form. The stormwater system remains mostly what it is supposed to be, a system for rainwater. Wet path, the slow drip that becomes a pollution route. Wet dumpsters often produce drips, small spills, dark staining around the base, residue that spreads when it rains again. And here's the key. A pollution event doesn't need to be dramatic. A slow drip can make a streak. A streak can reach a drain. A drain can reach a creek. A creek can reach an ocean. Wet waste creates mobility. It turns trash from a contained problem into a traveling one. Chapter 4, the smell chapter. Odor is a warning signal. Smell is more than unpleasant. Smell is information. When waste becomes wet and warm, decomposition accelerates. That produces sour odors, rotting odors, ammonia-like odors, sulfur-like odors. This is often paired with flies, larvae, rodents, scavenger birds, increased bacteria growth. Now compare again. Dry path, slower breakdown, fewer complaints. Dry loads still smell. Trash is trash. But the smell is typically less aggressive because microbial activity is slower. Liquids aren't spreading throughout the container. There is less surface area of wet organic material. Wet path. Faster breakdown, more vectors. Wet loads smell stronger because microbes have water and food in abundance. The waste becomes a wet ecosystem. Liquids coat surfaces and spread nutrients. The container interior stays wet longer. This isn't just uncomfortable. It can become a public health and nuisance issue, especially near schools, restaurants, and multifamily housing. Chapter 5, Recycling, the Quiet Casualty, the difference between value and waste. One of the biggest tragedies of wet waste is what it does to recycling. Paper and cardboard are valuable when dry. They are often unrecoverable when saturated. Dry path. Recovery stays possible. When cardboard stays mostly dry, fiber strength is preserved. Contamination is limited. Loads are more likely to be accepted. Recovery rates improve. Dry conditions support circular systems. Wet path. Saturation spreads contamination. When cardboard gets wet, fibers collapse. Glue and labels loosen. Contamination spreads. Loads may be rejected or downgraded. Wet waste doesn't just create pollution risk. It increases the amount of material that ends up buried. Chapter 6, Collection Day, the lift that reveals the truth. A truck arrives, hydraulics engage. The dumpster rises and tips. This is where the two paths become physically obvious. Dry path, objects fall like objects. Dry waste falls in chunks, behaves like solids, creates minimal dripping, compacts more predictably. The truck does its job efficiently. Wet path, mass slumps, liquid moves. Wet waste, slumps, slides, sometimes pours, can drip from seams and hinge points, coats the hopper and interior surfaces. Even if the spill is small, it leaves residue that later gets washed by rain. Wet waste increases. Cleanup needs, odor issues, operational burden, and then there's weight. Chapter 7, Weight, Fuel, and the Invisible Cost. How water turns into emissions. Water is heavy. When trash becomes wet, you are hauling water you didn't need to haul. That means more fuel burned per route, more emissions, more wear on equipment, sometimes higher costs when disposal is weight-based. Dry path, less mass, more efficiency. Dry loads, weigh less, haul more efficiently, reduce fuel burden, reduce strain and leakage. Wet path, extra water, extra impact. Wet loads, add unnecessary mass, increase fuel and cost, increase the chance of leakage during transport. Wet waste is a multiplier. It multiplies burden at every stage. Chapter 8, the hidden middle transfer stations, where waste is repackaged for the next phase. Many people think trash truck, landfill. Often it's trash truck, transfer station, landfill. Transfer stations are consolidation hubs. Trucks unload on a tipping floor. Materials may be separated. Waste is packed into long-haul trailers. Dry path. Cleaner handling, better recovery. Dry waste is easier to handle. Spreads less. Contaminates less. Supports better sorting efficiency. Wet path. Spreading, smearing, and more cleanup. Wet waste. Spreads across surfaces. Increases odor control needs. Increases cleanup burden. Can reduce the quality of recoverable materials. Water keeps traveling with the load. Chapter 9. The landfill. Not a hole, a containment system. Modern landfills are engineered. They are designed to limit waste contact with groundwater, capture and manage leachate, monitor surrounding conditions, collect landfill gas, including methane, manage stormwater on site. Here's the key comparison people miss. Rain at a landfill is managed. Rain in a dumpster can become runoff. Landfills try to keep clean stormwater away from active waste cells using cover and drainage design, but water that contacts waste becomes leachate and must be managed. Now compare the two paths entering this engineered system. Dry path, slower biological acceleration. Dry waste enters with lower moisture. That tends to mean slower microbial activation early on, more controlled leachate development, more stable compaction behavior. The system still produces leachate and gas because landfills contain organic material, but the system is not burdened by unnecessary water from the start. Wet path, faster gas, more leachate, more burden. Wet waste enters already saturated. That can mean faster microbial activity, increased methane generation rate, increased leachate volume, higher pumping and treatment burden. Landfills are designed for moisture management, but unnecessary saturation makes the job harder, faster. Wet waste does not just become landfill waste. It becomes a long-term management load. Chapter 10, methane and the long tail, the part that lasts decades. Inside a landfill, oxygen is limited. Organic material decomposes anaerobically. Anaerobic decomposition produces methane, carbon dioxide, additional leachate as structures break down. Many landfills install gas collection wells to capture methane and either flare it or convert it to energy. They also monitor groundwater for decades. A landfill isn't over when it closes. It becomes a managed site for a long time. Now, remember the two raindrops. One stayed outside waste. One soaked into the waste at the start. That extra water can echo through. Leachate volumes. Gas generation rates. Monitoring burdens. Long-term operational cost. Wet waste is not a single bad day. It's a multiplier across time. Chapter 11, the true comparison. Same trash, different system outcome. Let's summarize the differences in plain language. Dry path summary. Dry waste tends to stay contained at the property. Reduce runoff risk. Preserve cardboard and paper value longer. Reduce odor and vector pressure. Reduce hauling weight and emissions. Enter landfill systems in a more stable condition. Slow, early biological acceleration. Dry waste isn't good, but it is more controllable. Wet path summary. Wet waste tends to mobilize contaminants into leachate, create drips, stains, and pathways to storm drains, increase bacteria growth and odors, attract flies and pests, ruin recyclable fibers, increase hauling weight and cost, accelerate landfill gas and leachate burden. Wet waste is not just trash. Wet waste is trash plus water plus movement. Chapter 12, what kids need to know. The story in one image. For kids, the lesson can be simple. A dumpster is not a swimming pool. Rainwater should not mix with trash. Storm drains go to the ocean. If you remember only one thing, trash water is not supposed to reach the river. A closed lid helps protect animals, beaches, and parks. Chapter 13, what adults need to know. Prevention is infrastructure. For adults, property owners, managers, and businesses, the message is about systems and responsibility. Keeping waste dry reduces pollution risk. It improves site cleanliness and customer perception. It reduces odor and pest pressure. It protects recycling value. It reduces weight-based costs and fuel burden. It supports stormwater compliance. It reduces long-term environmental impact. This is not about blaming. It's about designing operations so problems don't start. Chapter 14, How to Change the Ending. The simple actions that reroute the story. You don't need perfection. You need consistency. 1. Keep lids closed and functional. Repair hinges and lids. Stop propping open. Close after each use. 2. Keep liquids out. Don't pour drinks, soup, mop water, melted ice. Keep wet organics contained properly. Avoid loose liquids and trash. 3. Keep the pad clean. Sweep regularly. Remove loose debris. Clean stains before storms when possible. 4. Inspect before and after storms. Look for drips and staining. Check for pooling water. Document issues and fix them. 5. Use containment where appropriate. Covers. Enclosures. Best management practices for stormwater protection. Because in the end, the story is not complicated. Water plus waste equal to leachate. Leachate plus pavement plus storm drains equal to pollution risk. Stop it at the first step. Epilogue. The quiet power of dry. Return to the 2 raindrops. One slides off a closed lid and continues as stormwater. Still something to manage, but not mixed with trash. The other falls into open waste and becomes leachate, liquid contamination. Same storm, same property, same city, different outcome, because of one small detail, a closed lid, a dry load, a clean pad. Sometimes environmental protection doesn't look dramatic. Sometimes it looks like a habit. And the best time to stop pollution is always the same. Before it becomes runoff, taglines, rain at a landfill is managed, rain in a dumpster becomes pollution. Dry waste stays contained. Wet waste moves. Protection begins at the source. Close the lid. Protect the watershed.